PFT Media.
I didn't even get to warm up, Dan.
He jumped right into
it. He just jumped in. He's like,
well, listen, ready. You pulled
the PFT Media thing. I'm like trying to like, I'm searching for names. Like, okay, who's our guest? I have no idea. I'm looking for the name. Anybody? Hey, it's Devils in the Details. We'll introduce ourselves later.
Here we are.
Episode 22, Devils in the Details, Pedro Lima, Dan P. Perella, super producer Chris Crespo, our guest,
right,
pulling double duty,
right,
fellow teacher,
uh-huh,
Kansas City Met,
right,
Orlando nightclub running, Clayton Phillips, everybody,
right,
retired,
broadcasting live from the beautiful Public Spring Water Studios.
I guess that's our sponsor for this show.
Mm-hmm. We need sponsors, Dan. Here's
okay.
The thing. I'm not going to beg.
Okay.
But if you want to sponsor the show,
right?
I could care less what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't care about your criminal past either. Let's say you're you like to put the hands on the ladies.
Uh-huh.
But you run a donut shop. This might be the place.
just that local podcast.
I'm just saying.
Giving you that shout out.
We're going to give you the shot. We're not going to judge you for your past. Hey, sometimes there's older men that find young kids attractive.
Whoa.
Hey.
I don't, are you sure? I don't know if we want to.
If the money's right, we'll look past them.
That is a lot of donuts.
Why are we going to be judging?
We're teachers.
We can't
teach. We're school teachers, man. That might be a bad suggestion.
Is it? All right.
Just try. Maybe it's a radio show. You just get some free food.
I'm just looking for any sponsors. Whatever it is. It doesn't even have to match whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Hey, you have an idea? Maybe you make candles at home. You make soap at home. I don't care. You know, there's people that do that stuff.
They make their own soap?
They make their own soap and make their own candles and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'll sponsor you.
Sponsor their Etsy store?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to charge you much. What's the entry level for sponsorship, Crespo?
Depends on the show.
Okay, your show. What's the entry level for sponsorship?
You just want me to put my goddamn rates out there for the world to hear?
I mean, what's the lowest that you would take?
For my show?
Yeah.
What's the lowest for our show? Mm-hmm. What are we taking?
What are we paying? We got to pay out.
I'll start you at $10.
All right.
There you go.
How's that? Is $10, is that too high?
Am I aiming too high? No, I think $10 is reasonable.
$10 is reasonable?
Per ad?
$10.
It pays for the water.
Yeah. $10. That'll cover.
Give us a case of water.
Yeah.
Lasts us a few months.
Yeah. And it has to be a legit business.
Right.
I don't need you to PayPal me $10 and just send me, read this. This is my business.
But is that how it works though?
But
now you're getting picky.
But if you send a 20, I'll read whatever it is. I'll support a Trump thing. I don't care.
We've got it for our two listeners out there.
Yeah. For our Trump supporter listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've got like a 30-70 split.
30-70?
I think we've got 30% conservative listeners. I'll go with that.
Yeah, we got Todd.
Yeah.
I don't know who else is.
Yeah, who are the other two people?
Probably Dewey.
There you go.
That's two. And then the other seven people.
I mean, you're really optimistic that we have 10 listeners.
But it's weird, dude. I'm working out of the gym. One guy goes, I didn't even know you had a podcast. But they love the show.
Okay.
Ryan promotes the show from the cabin that he... The luxury cabin that he bought in Pennsylvania, that right. mansion mm-hmm. that Sesame Street is paying for.
Right.
That Sesame Street money's really good.
Yeah, his wife runs Sesame Street.
She's the mayor of Sesame Street.
I'm not lying. Yeah. She runs Sesame Place.
All I'm thinking is NPR has that much money?
It all gets funneled to the street.
So, all right, Dan, how was your weekend, buddy?
It was pretty good. Pretty good weekend overall.
Did you see the gauntlet?
I saw the Infinity Gauntlet.
Everybody saw it. I know you saw it.
Clay, did you see the gauntlet? Okay, yeah. So we're all good.
Well done.
Good. And by the time this episode comes out,
you should have seen it by the time.
You should have seen it by now.
I mean, it's made over $1 billion. So, I think everyone who really wants to see it would have seen it by now.
And if you you haven't jumped on the movie pass by any chance, and you didn't purchase movie pass and been able to watch the movie, or you don't own a Fire Stick and seen a bootleg version,
right?
Are you actually waiting for this movie to be on HBO?
Without spoilers, right?
Because we're about to spoil this.
Yeah.
Dan, that movie was fantastic.
Oh, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It came together really nicely.
Beginning to end.
Uh-huh.
It's almost kind of sad to beat Black Panther now.
Yeah.
They kind of... Yeah. Yeah. They had to hope everybody... Oh, Wakanda forever.
Well, that's... I mean... Because it had the Black Panther supporters going to this movie too. Yes, so, in addition too. So, it was going to. But yeah, and then just like that, they took the black vote away at the end. Like,
Black Panther's gone.
We got your money.
Snap.
Yeah.
It's gone.
I was thinking, like, man, this movie's going to be too convoluted. How are they going to do this?
I thought with all the characters, it'd be a cluster.
And all this. And wow. That movie was great. Mm-hmm. My favorite character. Did I tell you who my favorite character
you
was?
You have not.
I have not. Did I tell you?
No.
Ebony Maw.
Was it Ebony Maw?
Ebony Maw was my favorite character.
That's the really...
Rejoice!
Yeah.
Rejoice.
The Herald. The really arrogant dude.
Why did you like him?
He
was a fun character.
He was just calm throughout the whole thing. The only time that he got mad was when he went for Doctor Strange stuff and he burned his hand.
Yeah.
It told him, I'll take it off your corpse. That's the only time that he got upset.
Yep.
Other than that.
Pretty cool.
Just go, he's fighting. He's just doing this thing with his, wrist.
Just the wrist only,
yeah. Yeah. But the voice, the just how meticulous he was with his words.
Right.
And, it was so great. So great.
I like the framing of, you've been blessed to be a sacrifice, the Lord Thanos.
Smile.
Yeah.
Even in death,
this is a good thing. Yeah,
you're one of Thanos' children.
It's like you have been given purpose in death. Yeah, that's right. It's funny. My favorite character is Thor.
Thor?
Yeah, he's a lot of fun in this one. He's Ragnarok Thor.
Right.
He's the fun, quippy Thor who's like overly confident and all that. But he can sort of back it up because he is a god. It's fun.
Now, I don't know about you guys. Did you notice that every girl in the audience, at least the movie theater I was at, the second Tom Holland goes away, Spidey starts to disappear? I don't want to go. All of them bursted out crying.
There's a lot of crying in my theater.
Everybody cried. All the girls.
Well, here's the thing. The reaction when Captain America came on the screen was like, holy shit, did somebody get a mop?
Right?
Jesus, somebody laid down the tarp. There's going to be kids slipping and sliding all over this place.
Oh, he joined the beard gang.
Yeah, so. I was about to say, he came out, he went full hipster beard on that one.
Yo, dude. So, but yeah, and then...
What did you think about Red Skull?
That was cool.
I was like, oh, damn.
That was cool. And it's not Hugo Weaving.
No, he refused.
He
didn't want to put those prosthetics on. No,
oh, well,
he was like, "I'm done with that. You'll have to get someone else."
Which was easy because they got that Ross Marquand guy from The Walking Dead, who's been getting popular for doing celebrity impressions.
Yeah, no, that guy's amazingly he's really talented.
But obviously, he costs way less than Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, just that prosthetic probably just gave him flashbacks because he the Red Skull one, and the only prosthetics before that one, he only had to put like the ears.
I like how they
Lord of the Rings.
I like how they tried to go a little sympathetic with him. He's like, oh, and now I've kind of like I've now the guardian of these. I'm like, that's great. You're still a Nazi.
Worse than a Nazi.
Mark it. And let it be known, He was before me.
Yes, I curse
before. It happens on occasion. Rarely. Oh, so rarely.
Always when Nazis get involved.
Yeah, I mean. Get some white.
But it's like, yeah, I'm like, no sympathy for you, bro. Don't even try this.
Get red faced white nationalism in there.
It was Nazi. He still made the guy kill his daughter.
Exactly. True to form.
I mean, he couldn't stop it. He just told the girl, and be like, he's.
Oh, he's going to kill you.
He's crying for you.
This is what friendly fascists do.
So, so yeah, dude. That overall, so, how many right. Thanos outfit you think they're gonna be popping out on
SuperCon and MegaCon? People were making them before the movie came out, yep. just to get ready. And of course, there's tons of fans that are asking us, when are we gonna bring Thanos into FSCW and all that stuff? And I'm like, how? Why would I do that? Why would I do that right away, too?
Don't you got a big guy that can?
No, I got big guys that'll do it, but you know what am I? I got to make a magical glove and all that stuff, and it's just
a glove.
Yeah, and how much of a fight's it gonna be when all he's got to do is
fingers?
Here's the thing about Dan. He just doesn't do any glove. He'll if he has to like weld it together. He'll find a glove.
We got a guy who does the whole glowing and everything. He's working on it. We'll get to it, but it's like we can't do it right away. It's a little too pandering.
Yeah, of course. You got to get the star. You got to
got to build up to it.
You got
to
get that midget from Game of Thrones to become a giant.
That was cute, right?
That was my least favorite character.
All right.
Really?
Yeah.
The giant dwarf.
Yeah, that was my least.
It was cute.
Favorite thing.
There's not much to it. Yeah.
Uses metal hands to mix up.
Yeah.
His hands are all.
No, but he. That was Thanos that did
that. Yeah. He messed up his hands, yeah. That's what.
I like the one guardian that survived was Nebula.
And Rocket.
Oh, the raccoon lived?
Rabbit lived.
But out of that, like the Iron Man team planet, Iron Man's like, oh, and I'm stuck with you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just the two of them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You and Failure McGee over there.
So that's the biggest. It's still number one movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Until Deadpool comes out.
Yes.
Deadpool 2, yeah.
Yes. Because that's going to make like 150 million ish opening weekend.
How much Infinity Gauntlet made? Two something?
Opening weekend, 250. 258, I think.
Yeah, I think Deadpool will get to 2.
No.
You don't think Deadpool will get to 2?
175 tops.
175 top?
Yeah. Oh, it's still an R-rated.
It's rated R, so you got to cut that. Yeah.
Damn it.
You still got Han Solo coming.
Oh, yeah. Solo's the very week after, yeah.
And that's 120. 120?
No, that's tracking at about 175 to maybe 200.
Really? Wait, you're saying Solo movie's going to get higher than
Deadpool 2?
Than Deadpool?
Yes.
I'm going to go the other way around.
Will Lando do a This Is Death Star song and dance?
This is a Death Star.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
I'm droiding it.
This is Tatooine.
Just dance in front of the camera the entire time.
And just shoot people with blasters.
I'm trying to see the Millennium Falcon. Just dancing. Making crazy faces.
I'm cool with that.
You want to take that bet? I'll bet you.
Just lightsaber the skull off a Gordo.
So what?
Dan.
So buttons.
Dan hits me up. Dan goes, hey, do you think your kid wants to babysit? Make extra cash over the summer? I go, dude, I'm struggling with my 14-year-old, the responsibility of how to open a door with the house keys. Like, I don't trust her with the house keys yet.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm afraid that she just gonna fuck.
Mark it. What's she gonna do?
She won't know how to open the door.
Uh-huh.
Or she'll lose the keys. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So I'm like, Dan, she's still dealing with the house key part. I can't trust her with another human.
And that's the one you wanted to babysit?
Yeah, I didn't know the level here. Because I was like, he's got a high schooler. Maybe I can, you know.
No, she's in middle school. She's
Don't you have the summer off?
Yeah, it's coming
There's
up.
Things to do, Clayton.
I was like, maybe I'll just drop her off during the podcast time, you know? And I for some reason, I thought she was like a freshman now in high school. No, I was like, all right, she's at the level. She can watch a 2-year-old for a couple
hours. She's thinking, yeah, dude. No. We struggle. When me and Lisa go to the gym, we leave her alone with Jacob. But my son is self-sufficient. He just goes into his room, and she's in her own room, and don't open the door for anybody or right. anything. They're fine. But other than that, we're another human being that's not related to them. They're like, I don't know.
Doors can be tricky. In college, I had a buddy who couldn't get out of my garage because he couldn't figure out how to turn the door handle.
The manual.
Yeah, I swear. I hear him screaming, banging on the garage door saying, I can't get out of the garage. And I'm like, turn the handle. He goes, what? Turn the handle. He goes, I'm pushing it. And I went, no, you got to turn it, man. It's not a push door. This guy was a UCF football player. Couldn't get out of my garage door. Couldn't get out of the garage.
Was he a starter or was he a...
Yeah, he was a lineman. He was a lineman. Didn't realize you had to turn the handle to get out.
Offensive lineman or defensive lineman?
Oh, no. I think he was an offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman? I thought offensive linemen were bright.
Brighter.
Brighter. Yeah, brighter.
He was struggling this day. Oh, he was struggling that day.
So I was talking to Clayton before you guys came in, and he goes, you and him met in Kansas City.
Right.
Yes. And I'm like, what kind of chance encounter was this? Mm-hmm. Was this like maybe a Kansas City rib festival that Dan decided to check out? Or anything like that? No. These assholes were just grading papers. Uh-huh. And that's how they connected. And apparently, like, you guys are, like, all these exams and papers that go in, you guys grade them.
Yeah, well, it's AP European History. So we met roughly about 100,000 exams come in. What, 100,000, 200,000 exams? And they have a giant convention center with just a ton of professors, teachers, and graders. And we all sit in there and read essays for about 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
For 5 days straight.
Are you guys like in a group?
Yeah, we're grouped up, but in different sections. Like, he'll be on essay number 2, and he'll go off and do his one essay.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're not reading it. You're not reading it for everybody, and everybody goes, I'll give that a B.
Oh, it's like a poetry session. Not
poetry kind of thing?
Some of those essays are poetry, I'll tell you.
Sometimes they just write poetry because they forget. So they give up, and it's like, whatever.
No, we sat out there, and then all night, Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's a party. Because you're sitting there for 8 hours grading papers.
Don't
and you
get burnt out from reading?
Totally, dude. By day 3, you're done.
That's why you're out partying.
Yeah, okay. So it's 8 hours.
Right.
You guys are... Okay, so approximately how many essays do you guys read in an hour?
Oh, in an hour? Well, it depends on the essay. If you're doing if you're doing something long, like a longer essay... Because some of those are long, some of them are short. But if you do a short essay, you can blow, 200?
Yeah.
200 in an hour?
Yeah.
It's a short essay? Short response? Yeah. You're only reading a couple paragraphs. And we know what we're looking for. We're not reading,
Oh, you're not reading the whole thing.
No, well, we're reading the whole thing, but we know.
Catherine, he spelled it wrong.
We just have some dice. We just roll it.
Thomas Blythe. Read every third word.
England. He said England. That's a point. Yeah, we're reading the whole thing, but we know what we're reading for, so it's not like, we're not grading grammar, we're not grading spelling or anything like that. It's, did they answer the question?
Why, hold up. Are you saying that somebody can get an A and misspell the whole thing?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Wow. That's for AP Lit.
Because the grammar part, I'm notorious for the comma splice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even matter. We don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow right through it. It's painful.
I can imagine. This is like high school
kids who are trying to get college credit. So, command of the English language, not necessary to get college credit. Right.
Wow.
That'll be bad. Like, they'll misspell names that are the subject.
Okay.
Like the name's printed for you, buddy.
Right there in the prompt. Yeah. Right there in the prompt.
Let me ask you this, and let me see how I can ask this question.
Sure.
Do you guys know of anybody that grades that paper in that convention that just says, I'm giving this one a B?
You can't.
You can't.
What do you mean? Who knows that you...
There are levels of grading. And what happens is, well, there's not A, B's, and C's. You give it like a points, 2, 3, 4 points for what it's worth. So it's a scale of points. And then you get maybe a set of 10 that you get, you read. Then you have somebody who's back reading you to check and make sure you're still on the same scale as they are.
Got, okay, so you guys read it. You give it a point. You pass it on. And they're like...
To like a table leader. And then he...
And he'll read it.
And then it goes to a chief reader who's reading samples from all across the room.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just to make sure everyone's on the
level. So you guys are on the low side until you guys are going to more of these conventions.
We do not want the upper job. You don't? No. That's an extra week there.
And they read essays to figure out how to grade them.
Yeah.
And then they back read all the same essays again.
Uh-huh. We are happy being grunts.
So they read all the essays twice.
Right.
Now, but it gets to a one point that once you read these essays, you guys know, like, this is a 2. This is a solid 2.
Yeah, it gets faster and faster.
Yeah, really quick.
Okay.
That's how you can get through 200 in like an hour.
Well, it's especially like, boom. His tables. Like, the tables he gets assigned for, you get like the most competitive people at your table.
It almost turns into like, I mean,
what's the competitive thing about? I read 7!
Yep. They want to read the most. Like, who can go through
how
the most
I
nail,
how many I get down in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these reading rates.
I like short circuit Johnny 5 kind of.
Well, yeah, after a while you kind of end up with the same people a lot of the time, and so his team kind of has this rapport, and they know it's a competition. By day 2 they're at it,
blowing through them.
And you guys are there for like a weekend kind of deal?
5 days.
For 5 days.
Yeah.
So imagine day 5 you guys have done that, party is off the hook.
Yeah, my tables usually get done early.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they won't let you out of the room until everybody's done.
Officially, yeah.
So, and then the drinking begins.
So we have to wait for Dan's... we have to wait for Dan's group to finish, so the rest of us are freaking out. Like, hurry up.
Dan's group is reading every single nugget there is.
Dragging
his
ass.
His group will finish like 6 hours before it's supposed to be done. My group will usually finish about like 2 hours before it's supposed to be done. So yeah, they're waiting for my guys to like...
And we're staring across the room.
Yeah, they are.
Really?
3 more hours like this?
Yeah, come on. But no, there's drinking throughout the nights. Throughout the nights. It's not just a one night.
Okay.
Like, you gotta go out and...
Are there guys something. That have been doing this for quite some time? Is the money good for this, or is it just the experience of...
It pays about the same as teaching summer school.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you knock it off in 1 week. You don't have to do summer school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
That makes sense.
It's a nice little, you know. It's
punish yourself for 5 days.
Yeah. It's all expenses instead of
20, what is it, 20, 30 days of
exactly.
summer?
Exactly.
Right? 5 days.
Knock it out.
Everything's paid for.
Yeah.
Including the food. Wow. And in Kansas City, you get the meat sweats because they don't have never heard of a green vegetable.
No. Hey.
I actually asked one time, I was like, do you guys have any vegetables? And she goes, well, we have potatoes. And I was like,
green vegetables? Potatoes.
We get one night where we get this. We get the
we get
the
asparagus,
voucher night,
but we wrap that around a brisket. Right.
Exactly.
It is.
We have to go to a steakhouse, and I think last time I went out there, we went to a steakhouse and we ordered the steak so we could eat all the vegetables. We didn't even bother with the steak because we were like, we were so tired of the meat. It was just nothing but meat.
All right, Dan. What are we covering today, buddy?
All right, we're gonna get a little local history today because.
Local? We going Orlando local?
I mean, we're going to do, Orlando, most of, Florida, some of the early years and stuff. Because, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Because when you think of Florida, you think of the mouse, obviously.
Everybody, it's just, you say Orlando, it's just,
Yeah, that's it.
Just the mouse.
But, Florida's had a pretty interesting history throughout its life. A lot of, I say we have a very... eclectic douchebag history as far as the various founders of Florida, and Clay could back me up on that.
I had to do a book. I helped my son with a book report for Andrew Jackson. What a dick.
Douchebag number one in Florida
history. What a dick.
Yep.
Yo, he was so... Are we bleeping that one? Is that one bad?
Dick, douchebag? No, we good.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, I just...
I'm only bleeping the F words.
Yeah. I just saw Crutchfield like writing down. Just, I was like,
my notes, man.
Does anybody else find it ironic that he's on the bill of bills of the U.S. bank that he abolished?
I'm just surprised. Like, I was like, I don't want nothing to do with this dude.
Uh-huh.
At all.
He was... Like, he was sent down here to kill Indians. Yeah. Like, that was it. Native Americans, like... Stop the Seminoles.
Stop the slaves from, what is it, stop the slaves from coming down, or, I forget what it was, but also get rid of the Seminole Indians. Mm-hmm. Tell me more. I only learned whatever I wrote. Like, I was so mad writing this thing to my son. It's like, this is, yo, I wish you could write he was a dick.
Well, between the Seminole Indian Wars and the Indian Removal Act, you know, you can almost, if you'd like to, accuse him of committing a genocide. You really wanted to.
I do. I do want to accuse him of that, yes.
You may.
Thank you.
Trail of Tears.
That's him.
That's him.
In fact, in order to get the Trail of Tears passed, he had to brawl it out literally for about 6 months in a political argument with Daniel Boone. I'm sorry, no, Davy Crockett. Him and Davy Crockett got into like a big political debate.
Oh shit, Davy Crockett's a real dude. Yeah, he's a real dude.
And Davy Crockett wanted to defend the Indians.
Clayton, I just want to let me clarify something here real quick. I am going to be like, holy, like, I'm going to be, every time we do an episode, understand that I went to, I only did high school here in Florida. Most of my schooling was done in Puerto Rico, and I didn't even know any shit about what was happening. I know Puerto Rican history and all that stuff, and maybe some major stuff, but even I know I slept through Florida history in high school and past. I didn't even pay attention. I can pass a class and not learn a goddamn thing. So when you say Davy Crockett, I thought Davy Crockett was a made up something. That's the dude with the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was real.
Shit, he was real.
Yeah. Right. He was a politician from Tennessee, and the Indian Removal Act passed by just a couple votes. It was pretty close. And Davy Crockett was humiliated by Jackson, and Davy Crockett ended up going to Texas, and we all know how that ended up.
And
right?
Davy Jones' locker is not real. You see how I get all confused?
So yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 5 years arguing over this guy. You said 5 years, right? Andrew Jackson.
5 months.
No, five months. Several months. Yeah, it was a few months that they were
over this just debate. Back and forth this debate over the Indian Removal Act.
Was this before or after the hat? Was this like,
this is after the hat.
After the hat?
He's wearing the hat while he's doing this.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, probably Andrew Jackson said, listen, I got to you this little raccoon hat. Just let me do what I got
to do. It's like it's had a shame. You have to wear a trash panda hat.
So, Jackson's definitely a big part of Florida history, which is why we have Jacksonville.
Okay.
Needless to say there. And then was...
Where do you want to start in Florida? Because we've covered the Ponce de Leon.
We've covered Ponce de Leon, so it was owned by the Spanish for a little while. And I always tell my kids when I teach United States history, Florida has a great history of picking the losing side when it comes to wars in the colonial era.
Yes.
So it was, it was Spanish during the Seven Years' War, and the Spanish lost that war, so it went to the British. And then the British owned Florida, and it was divided into two territories, East and West Florida. And many people don't, you know, it's always funny when people talk about 1776 and this whole unanimous decision by the colonies to break away was only unanimous because they didn't invite the Florida delegation because they wanted to stay with the British and they knew that was just going to be trouble.
So they just left Florida out of the voting.
Yeah, technically there was 15 colonies.
So what was the split? What was the split in East and West Florida?
Where was the split?
Yeah.
Well, it was roughly, you're talking about Pensacola area would have been one side, and then the other part would have been east.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And even that, remember, it only goes so far. Like, South Florida is all swamp at this point. There's no settlements there, really.
Well, there's no coke yet? All right.
There wasn't even anybody living in time, because they picked up and left. The British showed up, tried to colonize it, but all the Indians had died. The British gave up and said, there ain't nothing here anyway. They left, too, so there's nothing even in Tampa.
So there's nothing there. Yeah. So is Jackson? So it starts in Tallahassee or it starts in Jacksonville? Where do we start in the
Pensacola, St. Augustine? Pensacola,
St. Augustine. Yeah. Okay.
These are the major spots.
I hate St. Augustine. Did I tell you? Just find St. Augustine. So yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just old. Smells like piss.
Do you go during the summer?
Yeah, it's the only
because that's like the worst time. Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Hey, you go during Christmas. The lights, man.
Yeah.
Never been.
Okay.
That's how much I hate it.
We'll go during the winter.
I don't know, man.
Trust me.
Done a couple comedy
MLK
shows
called it the most hateful city in America.
MLK called it? All right, then I'm in.
We got all this.
I got to check it out. Man, over Alabama? For real? And he took over, a beating in Alabama.
Over Jackson, Mississippi?
Jacksonville was notorious for what they did to anybody who was black tried to stay in town or live in town. Yeah.
Jacksonville?
No, I'm sorry. St. Augustine.
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine was.
Wow.
Well, Jacksonville's got a history, too, of that, because when desegregation started to occur in Jacksonville, right, the white flight occurred, right, and black politicians got elected to the city council. So what they did is they just incorporated the whole county in so that the whites could still control the county, and the blacks just lived in the center of town.
So it just looked like a bullseye kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Right,
like, so great. Oh, America.
That's why Jacksonville and Duval County. Is so
cue
huge.
That song. This is America. That's how we're going to wrap up.
Right. So then Florida fights for the British.
Okay.
In the American Revolution,
traitors.
Right. And then Florida fights for the Confederacy in the Civil War.
Oh, for three.
So just always picking the losing side in every war.
Yeah. Do we go for Sudan, Hussein on the Desert Storm? Was I not aware? Were they rooted for Hussein?
There's a big German contingency here in the '40s too, right? Yeah. But yeah, Florida's always had that crazy history, man, of just like always being on the opposite side of wherever the U.S. kind of goes.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, we didn't even get along with each other.
No.
And during Reconstruction, after the Civil War, The Barber Mizell feud occurred.
What
in
is
Orlando.
That?
Well, it's one of the biggest family feuds in U.S.
Barber Mizell.
The Barber Mizell. Wait.
I know Hatfield McCoy's.
Yes, on par.
On par, really? And how? I've never heard of this one. Yeah, Barber and who?
And Mizell.
Mizell.
How do you spell that?
Mizell.
Okay.
The Barber Mizell fight. Yeah, it was a feud. There were.
What are they fighting over?
Well, it was kind of a mixture of cattle rights. Mizell was the sheriff.
Okay.
He was appointed sheriff during the Reconstruction era, right? Both of them fought in the Confederate military. In fact, this whole area in Central Florida and Florida itself was kind of like the breadbasket of the Confederacy because Florida beef fed the Confederate armies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? But this was huge cattle country. It was occupied, and eventually that was all shut down. Well, we're on the losing side. So the Reconstructionists came down and started to reappoint government officials. Mizell ended up becoming sheriff, right? And there was a cattle fight, basically. This is like Hatfield McCoy. So
like pit bull fights? They just put cattle to fight?
It's something along the lines. And essentially, Moses Barber accused Mizell of stealing his cows. And Mizell...
Didn't they brand them or mark them or tag them or something like that?
David Mizell was saying he was taking them from Moses Barber because Barber was not paying his taxes. And Barber was turning around saying, I don't pay taxes to a government I don't see as lawful and sovereign. Yeah. So, Mizell, Moses...
So, this is more like, I don't recognize you.
Yeah. Right. Sovereign citizen.
And so, like, you don't recognize me. Well, I recognize this f***ing cow. Mark it. That one was on purpose.
Right. So apparently Moses Barber got upset and said, if I ever see David Mizell on my property again, I'm going to shoot him. So Mizell showed up with his sons and... He shot and killed the sheriff. In fact, his name's on the police memorial.
Did he shoot the sons too, or just him?
No, actually, a big giant shooting brawl or a big giant feud broke out.
Okay, Corral kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it killed 41 people.
Oh,
way more than the OK Corral. Yeah. Way more.
Yeah, and wow. They did it in many creative ways. Like they, what was it? One of the Barber clan they caught.
One of the biggest shooting in Orlando until a couple of summers ago.
Right.
Well, the thing is, it involved a bunch of other families. Like I know they caught one of the barbers and they tied him to an anchor and tried to drown him. And then when apparently he wasn't going to drown, then they just went ahead and started shooting him while he was still strapped to the anchor.
Hold up. Time out. Rewind. Pause. They tied him to an anchor.
Right.
And they couldn't drown him.
Is he
Aquaman or something like that?
Well, I don't know. I think Bull Creek ain't that deep.
Fakook! Right here. All right, guys. What do you guys want to do?
Oh, man. Well, light him up.
Want to tilt the anchor.
Yeah, so this brawl, this family feud kept going on for it. Because it was a cow town, man. There's only about 1,600 people in Orlando at the time. So
how long did this feud go for?
I think you could officially say the hatchet was buried sometime in the mid-20th century when a barber actually married a Mizell. And this wasn't that. You've heard of the Bronsons, like Earl Bronson Highway down in Osceola and stuff.
I know Charles Bronson.
Yeah, well,
yeah, Earl Bronson's cousin.
Right.
Yeah, Bronsons were involved. The Yates. There was a bunch of families that were involved in Orlando that got into it. So it wasn't just. Yeah.
The Jung Yung Parkway.
It was Game of Thrones in Orlando, basically.
Is there a history of the Jung Yung Parkway?
You can actually go to David Mizell's graves. He's buried in Lou Gardens.
Yeah. The whole.
That's his house.
Really?
Yeah. The house that. The house of Lou Gardens, David Mizell's house.
You never knew, right?
I had no idea about it.
I know. I told you. There's a lot of stuff going on this.
It was in the news, up in the newspaper.
Is this just big for Florida natives, this kind of thing? Because I think Hatfield McCoy's is just like a national known, like, hateful type family. Is it because they had a cooler name than Mizell's and Barbara?
Barbara Mizell, right. Barbara Mizell sounds like Barbara Streisand's understudy.
Opening for the understudy.
Musical guest, Barbara Mizell.
The role of Yento will be played by Barbara Mizell. Right.
See, I don't know why.
Papa, can you hear me?
I don't know why Hatfield McCoy became more popular, but this was
it had
feud
Kevin Costner and Bill Pullman, first of all.
This needs a movie.
That's the thing.
Actually, I think someone did do a movie.
they did. It was dope.
No, the Mizell. I think somebody did a little documentary movie or something. I can kind of remember. It was a local film.
The only local film we recognize is that karate movie by...
Miami Connection.
Miami Connection, baby. That's the only movie we recognize here.
No, don't forget Ernest Saves Christmas.
No, I don't recognize... You guys recognize that as your childhood...
Let's not forget The Vault was also filmed here.
The Vault?
Right.
Daryl was here. Daryl was here, too.
Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector. Come on. We have a rich history of fantastic cinema.
The Vault was a Voss Wooten movie.
I don't know anything about The Vault.
It's a Voss Wooten movie.
But I did see the trailer to Miami Connection. Yeah. And that's the one movie that we said that we were going to watch and do a companionship to. Because Arnie Ellis, one of my good friends, knew one of the actors that was in Miami Connection. I love that trailer, Miami Connection.
Just a trailer. I haven't seen the movie.
I never got a hold of it. We were watching crappy movies. It got to the point that our podcast just became like a companion thing. We saw Thanksgiving.
Right.
We saw The Room. Mm-hmm.
Did we see Ginger Dead Man or we talk about it?
We talked about it. We talked about that Snowman movie.
Right.
Jack Frost.
The one that kills. Not
the Michael Keaton.
Not the Michael Keaton.
Not the cute one. The happy one. They're both terrible. Yeah.
Give me more.
Florida, Central Florida, all cattle country. You know, in the early years, this is what it was for.
So when does it start? Like,
when do we get to Florida?
Yeah,
when do you think, Pedro?
I would say 18.
What?
Really?
Keep going.
We don't start migrating down in the 1890s.
Yes. Well. There was not much here. I mean, until the rail line came through, there wasn't anything in.
We have a rail line?
That's
what happened?
Who builds Florida, Flagler.
Until they pulled the rail line through, and most of the rail lines that ran through here were all just moving turpentine and pine tar.
Okay.
And meat, which is one of the reasons for the feud. Mm-hmm. But, when they actually started bringing people down, like Sanford is really probably the beginning of Central Florida becoming Central Florida. Because originally the biggest town around here was Sanford, not Orlando.
Now, was the rail line done to go all the way down to Miami?
Not originally, one of the last...
You know, originally, it was like the original I-4 corridor. It went from Jacksonville to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it went through Leesburg.
Okay.
And it had a spur line that came through here.
A what?
A spur line, a smaller line.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah, we're not going South Florida until there's a big freeze in St. Augustine and Flagler realizes his little tropical paradise doesn't stay tropical year-round. So he wants to move on down.
So he
goes Daytona, I think, is the next spot.
Yeah, he works his way down to Daytona.
Right.
Works his way to Miami.
And then he sets up the breakers in West Palm Beach, and then finally he gets down to Miami.
And then Key West is just discovered when he just tries to drown himself.
I mean, they keep going. I mean, and if you notice, basically where he goes on that railroad, that's I-95.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're there.
But I didn't know Sanford, like, I get it. But it's like, wow, dude. This is just... So this happened like in 1900s kind of deal?
Late 1800s.
Yeah.
Late 1800s. Yeah. All right. So I was close there. Because that's when I figured that's when the United States colonized Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And here comes the Ricans.
Right.
But I don't think we came here because I think the deal was...
Tampa.
No, Cubans went to Tampa.
Cubans went to Tampa. Sorry, yeah. Puerto Ricans went to New York
right. for Operation
mm-hmm.
Bootstrap.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Go ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So, okay. No, yeah. No, that's fine. You're contributing. That's cool. Yeah.
That's really cool. He's a learned master.
Right, right. I was trying to think of some other fun...
you know, well,
what was the point of the rail going to Sanford?
Yeah. Well, originally you got to Sanford by steamboat. Mm. So there's steamboat springs and stuff. They're going all along, like San Lando Springs. There's places like that.
Okay.
You'll still see some of those names floating around. But they brought it through Sanford. And what you had was like they had the old celery line because Sanford was now pushing celery. It was at one point the world's capital of celery.
Right?
Celery is what it was known for.
You think oranges, but man, we've done a bunch of agricultural things.
Celery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and
orange... I didn't even know beef was the big thing here. The beef belonged to something in the Midwest.
That's why. Chicago. That's why the word cracker means something different.
Yeah, Chicago sounds like more...
A beef. Yeah, meaty. Chicago did have its beef, yeah.
The
jungle.
Yeah.
But that's why the term cracker in Florida means something different to a lot of native Floridians.
Cracklin'?
Cracker.
Cracker.
Florida,
cracker. Florida cracker.
The cracker.
Yeah, but the cracker was...
But for cattle here.
Oh, that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So,
they built a celery line,
mm-hmm.
and they were shipping celery
out. Where the hell did they be sending a celery to?
Oh, they sent it up to Jacksonville, ported it out in front of Jacksonville.
Those fancy men.
Yeah. Well, the biggest
fancy men from Jacksonville eating celery.
The Bloody Marys.
Who controlled the blue cheese dressing empire?
I was coming from Washington, the other side of the country. They met in the middle.
Wisconsin.
They had a lot of oranges down here. The oranges kept freezing. It takes a while to grow orange trees, but until a guy came down here and pulled out some pasteurization plants and some canning plants. His name was Phillips, as in Dr. Phillips.
Right.
Yeah.
Was he a doctor for
real? He really was a doctor, okay. too. Yeah. In fact, he put a there's a bar in downtown Orlando called Stagger Inn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the first hospitals in Orlando. So
the Stagger Inn?
Yeah. It's
how ironic that place now sends people to the hospital.
Right?
Yes. But originally, it would take in tuberculosis, so don't eat off the floors.
I think that tuberculosis is still there. The original tuberculosis.
Right, all the way.
Yeah,
don't lick the walls.
But Orlando was just a small, sleepy town. I mean, there's not much that was here, except for maybe a couple livery stores, a grocery store. Like, a guy named Delaney owned one of the biggest grocery stores. But the whole town burned down in, like, a big chunk of the town burned down in, like, 1880.
That the downtown fire?
Or yeah, the great downtown fire.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that burned down, and that's when they started the first fire department.
Oh, they didn't have.
Oh, after the fire, they started the fire department.
Yes,
yeah, no, after knee jerk reaction.
Well, they had to have,
I guess, yeah.
Well, they had to have a series of articles written by a guy named Gore.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
who was one of the main newspaper. Who was the newspaper writer for Orlando back in the time? That's why you have Gore.
Gore Street.
Gore Street.
Yeah,
and it was approved by Mayor Marks. There's a lot of connections.
I'm trying. Now I'm thinking of all the names.
Yeah, they all have.
I'm waiting for Mr. Church to just show up.
Whatever.
You wanted his street names. Here's a good one.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay, so there's a guy named Francis Epps. Francis Epps moves down here. This is Thomas Jefferson's grandson.
Okay.
Right? And if anybody's an FSU fan, he's the founder of FSU.
Okay.
Right? Francis Epps. So he builds a house down off of Lake Pine Lock. Right? It's still there. It's called the Epps House. Right, it's got a marker on it and everything like that. He marries into a family or one of his relatives, Big Tom Shine and his brother Shine, and his other brother Shine, and they have what's called the Orlando Guards. The Orlando Guards is a local National Guard unit. It fought in the Spanish-American War when we won Puerto Rico and independence. Well,
you said that so with so much joy. If I had something to throw at you, I would.
Now that you know that, you have a road called Shine in Orlando,
uh-huh.
right? And you have a road called Jefferson. It intersects with Orange, and that's why they're intersected, because he was trying to show the connections to the families.
So they designed the road to, like, the little...
It was a wedding present.
It's like the four... It's like the 5 points in that...
In Gangs of New York?
In Gangs of New York, yeah. All right.
So that's why the roads are... That's supposedly why the roads are connected, to show the connection to the families.
Mm-hmm. What Church Street is named after who?
The churches.
The churches.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking something deep. No. So, but no. There's Ralph Church, no. Who...
No. No.
And
invented the visor.
Yeah. But a lot of them are from, like, Paramore. Colonel Paramore was a... Paramore district.
Was he a slave owner? Because that would be hilarious.
He was a mayor. Joseph, or is it Summerlin?
Okay.
Donated all the land on the south side of the lake for Lake Eola. Yeah.
And then Curry Ford is where the old crossings went, right?
Yeah, Old Man Curry had a ford across the Conallahatchie. So if you wanted to go across the Conallahatchie, you took the road down to Curry's Ford.
Yeah, and you would ford the river.
Kirkman?
I don't know the Kirkman
story. I don't remember the Kirkman one, yeah.
Kirkman? I don't remember the Kirkman story, but yeah.
Yeah.
So there's all, yeah, it's all little bits and pieces here.
Wow, dude, that's...
It's kind of fun, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just... Sanford the Celery thing. How sad were you when that, what is it, old general, that big-ass tree they had in Sanford burnt down?
I was really sad, man.
The general, was it called?
Yeah, the senator.
The senator.
I had been going to that when I was a little kid, man. That was pretty sad.
I did not even know that we had that until the news says, meth head burns tree. What?
And you're like, it's a tree. And then you realize what it is, and you're like, oh, man.
What was the biggest, that tree had... A bigger significance other than just being the oldest tree?
Hundreds of years beyond just being tall and huge. It's so old. Like, it predates Columbus. I think they traded it all the way back to the Middle Ages.
No shit.
Yeah, that's how long that tree had been around.
And this crack
dick
decided to light up inside the trunk and just set the whole thing on fire, man.
Wow. Is she still locked up, or is she out?
I have no idea. No. Not a person I want to remember.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, no one's keeping tabs on the senator arsonist.
Thanks for destroying
arsonist.
That childhood memory.
Yeah, do we have a name for that, Bron? Because, I mean, we have Casey Anthony. We have George Zimmerman.
Right.
And I think this person...
None of which will have roads named after them.
Give it time with the way this political climate is going. Give it time.
So, yeah, around... When did Orlando start building up, Clay?
Orlando wasn't called Orlando.
Right. What was it called?
It was called Jernigan.
What?
Yeah, it was named after... There's a guy named Jernigan who lived...
Jernigan?
Jernigan.
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 Yeah, he lived down by Lake near Lake Holden.
Wow, what a horrible effing name.
Nearby, man.
Where are you from, Jernigan?
Kind of a horrible person, too.
What, was he bad?
Huh? He's just one of the local settlers who'd come down here back when they were offering land if you come down here and settle after the British had taken... Right.
Was this like... was that Tom Cruise movie? You get on a horse and just start throwing claim on?
You're getting pretty close.
Really?
Yeah, you would just file for it. That's how Sanford got his. You would just file a claim for it, and they would award it to you, but you had to promise to develop it.
Okay.
That was what it was. You couldn't just claim it and walk off. It wasn't like you were selling swamp land.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing like that. But Orlando took off after the Orlando itself changed its name. Well, there's a whole other story where the name Orlando came from, which no one really knows. There's two stories behind it. Mm-hmm. You want to do them, or you want me to do it?
One's the soldier, right?
Yeah, take Orlando turns. Reeves.
One's the soldier, the Orlando Reeves.
Orlando Reeves. And the other...
And I don't remember the other one.
The other one is there was a judge in Orlando, or in Jernigan, who wanted to decide what to name the town. So his favorite play was As You Like It. So he named it after his favorite character, Orlando, and then named one of the roads Rosalind.
Hmm.
Okay.
There you go.
I know Rosalind. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was where that's
probably... Named it after his favorite movie. It could be either you'd be Jernigan or Orlando Carlisian. How about we just stick with Orlando? We just stop it there.
So, and then really the first big boom occurred once you put the rail line in.
Yeah.
Right. Once the rail line went in.
What is the biggest problem? Why can't we just have a choo-choo train going from Tampa to Orlando? What's the big problem here?
We do have a choo-choo train. You talking about a high-speed rail?
Something that takes...
He wants the high-speed rail.
We have one that goes from Orlando to Tampa?
You have a train you can get down there, but...
Do I got to jump in like a hobo and I can't get there?
There is supposedly a constitutional amendment saying we're supposed to have a high-speed rail, but the current governor has put that on hold. Because apparently governors can...
Governor Luther.
Put amendments on hold.
put constitutional rulings on hold.
Because that's not surprising me. I know everybody's like, oh, can't wait to get the train to Orlando, Miami. I'm like, all right, that'll be great, but how about we start small about Orlando to Tampa? All
right.
Yeah. Let's see how that one goes.
Nice half-hour trip, and then you're done.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm from New York. I know how the choo-choo trains run up there, and it's not that great. Once one breaks down, and I've seen traffic here for the X amount of years that I've been living here, I don't see how that's going to function so great going from Orlando to Miami.
Right.
Start baby steps. I hate the sunrail kind of things, first of all. And every time I see it pass by, I barely see anybody in it.
Yeah, interesting enough.
And how the hell can you have a train and not run on the weekend?
Right?
Yes.
Speaking of Orlando traffic, and I remember reading this, and I don't, but I-4 wasn't even supposed to be in Orlando.
No.
It's an interstate that does not connect to any state.
It was supposed to be a Daytona to Tampa straight line.
Okay.
But the problem was was it Mayor Orlando or was it the owner of the Orlando Sentinel at the time? I don't remember who.
I think it was the combination between the Sentinel and Sunbank.
Right. Sunbank. It was good buddies with Lyndon Johnson, who was president at the time.
Okay.
And they called up Lyndon B and was like, hey, by the way, we want this road to go through Orlando too. So that's why I-4 kind of swerves to get, because it wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be a straight line.
It's so Florida.
Here's a quick. This was quirky. Okay, this is a Sanford story.
Okay,
an I-4 story. It's called the I-4 Dead Zone. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Well, yes.
You ever heard? I've heard this dead zone. Yes. All right.
So I-4 Dead
Zone. Going south on I-4, right? Heading towards Sanford.
South on I-4.
Yeah. Well, east or west. You're going west.
Uh-huh.
In this particular case, you'd be going south, and you cross over Lake Monroe. That big bridge that goes over Lake Monroe. Okay. There's this built-up area, right? Well, when Sanford first came, or first wanted to move settlers here, right? He had gotten a priest, a German priest, I can't remember, to try and recruit people to come settle on the shores of Lake Monroe. And the place instantly got hit with the yellow fever. And one of the families had died. So they had buried it away off into the woods, right? In this little settled plot. And apparently the property had changed hands and all sorts of freaky incidences occurred. At one point, one of the wives and one of the former owners wanted to get rid of the grave. So she pulled up the gate around the little graves and tried to build a house nearby. The house burned down.
Right? Poltergeist style.
Yeah. So there's this rumor that there's ghosts there. So what happened was they decided to build I-4 and it went right over these graves. So the original plan was to move the graves. Right? It's about 1960. They didn't move the graves. The field truck just came right in and buried over the graves. Now, incidentally, at the same time, Hurricane Donna, one of the worst hurricanes ever to hit Florida, right, was chucking across the state. And apparently on the same day that they dumped the dirt onto these graves, that hurricane did a complete turn and then just worked its way right up I-4 and stalled building I-4 for almost a month as it just whooped up on Central Florida. So they finished building I-4, and one of the highest rates of death and traffic accidents on I-4 is when you come over that bridge and go over the spot where the graves used to be.
Yo, what's this spot?
It's right south of Lake Monroe as you're crossing over the lake.
I gotta see that.
And Sanford's on the left.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. Tell me about Casadega. Who got stories about Casadega?
I don't have any Casadega stories.
The spiritualist camp that's been there for a while.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's just an old spiritualist camp that just turned into a small tourist trap.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember I was in high school and one of the things is like, come on, just walk through the cemetery. Kind of thing. It's like, first of all.
Casadega is right down the road from where this site was.
That's what I was getting at, kind of thing. It's like, all right.
Is that where the Devil's Chair is at?
The Devil's Chair? Oh, I was sitting out front of that one.
Raising in a cemetery or something. It's like someone's like grave marker, and it's like a big old chair.
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
No, I've never heard of that one.
Somebody put a rocking chair on top of a grave?
Right. Yeah, but like engraved like probably devil's faces woman. Into it or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow. Dude. In I-4, it's one of the worst... roads, interstates in the nation kind of thing. Jeez.
I mean, it was cursed since the beginning,
And the sole reason, one of the sole reasons why Disney decided to go ahead and put Disney here.
It's so cheap.
We got an interstate to get everybody here.
Yep. The land is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had to do that privately, as you know. He had to do it quietly. It was all different investors and everything that bought it up quietly.
Yeah, the Dimitri family actually was the real estate guys.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the Dimitris. If you go around Orlando today, you'll still see Dimitri Real Estate or Dimitri Buildings. That's the that was the real estate Russians? Agent was going around.
Disney's and the mouse is with the Russians.
Well, this one's a T-R-E-E. Yeah.
Now, you know, did I tell you before why he said another reason why he settled in Florida or why he came down here? Because mm-hmm. it was supposed to be in Missouri. Original
Disney. In Missouri?
The original Disney World was supposed to be in St. Louis, Missouri. Because he was a Missouri boy. He wanted it in his hometown. But you want to do anything in Missouri, especially St. Louis, you got to go talk to Budweiser.
Ah.
And they have this whole plan, meeting for a few days now, and he's all for it. Budweiser's like, yeah. All right, so how many stands can I sell my beer in? Like, how many beer stands do I get?
No beer.
What do you mean?
No beer. I got turkey legs.
Well, if I can't sell my beer, you can't have your park. And that's what he basically said. I will make sure the city denies you the permits.
Wow. So Anheuser and Busch.
Well, then Disney went down. And then Anheuser Busch.
Both of them? Maybe Busch said, Disney, we can. Anheuser's like, no.
Yeah, Disney didn't cave. He's like, well, fine, I'll just move it somewhere else.
Screw that guy and his pencil mustache.
Well, that's what pretty much. He's like, oh, so you think you're the only one who could start up theme parks? And well, I'm going to start up some theme parks too. And mine are going to be better. They're going to sell my beer.
So this is Busch. Busch is the one. Anheuser's like, but listen to him. Let's give him a shot.
Right. And that's, yeah, it was supposed to be St. Louis, Missouri, is where Disney World was supposed to be.
Wow. So he ended up in Orlando. How?
Like, they were looking at the site, and he wanted a place with sunshine and everything and good weather. And originally, it was supposed to be in Orange County, Orlando.
And that, Missouri had met those qualifications of good weather? Idiot.
It's nice in the summer. I can attest for that.
Yeah, we've been to Kansas.
Right. It's very nice.
Yeah, but in the winter, have you guys been out there in the winter? No. No. I don't even mind.
So, but Orange County screwed themselves over because originally he kind of made it public that he was going to move to Orlando, and they started jacking up their prices, which is why it's in Osceola County in Kissimmee.
Wow. Okay, so it's going to be closer to Orlando.
Yeah. It was supposed to be right in. Yeah, right there. But Orlando got greedy and...
So that's why he hired Dimitri, the real estate guy, to go around and start buying up all this farmland and groves and everything till event and piecemeal versions.
Is there a Disney movie out of this?
That's not coming out for a while now.
Well, there's the one he made about Mary Poppins.
Right, where he's the good guy, right?
I was just thinking about that movie. I've never seen it.
Where he didn't make her cry at the end, right?
Oh, well, then was it Reedy Creek? He got the state to declare a water district solely under the jurisdiction of the company. Bleak Point of Vista is an actual city where it's not subject to any of these normal municipality rules. Well, isn't
Celebration part of Disney?
Yeah, it's part of his experimental community.
Type of deal that everybody has to vote you in to be... Wow, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
It's like a co-op. Kind of thing.
Yeah, Epcot was the prototype, and then he went on to make Celebration.
Epcot was the prototype?
Was the prototype before, kind of the site. Originally, Epcot was supposed to be where you live, and then it eventually became a park.
What's the name? What's Epcot? Experimental?
Prototype. Community of Tomorrow.
Oh, and that's what it stands for.
Yeah. Yeah, Epcot stands for something.
Yeah, it stands for, yeah.
Yeah, but after Walt died, the real estate brokers got a hold of that and turned it into Celebration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a whole...
Yeah, because Celebration is, what, 1990s? 90s. 90-something. Yeah, because my only experience in Celebration... Okay, so there used to be two basketball tournaments.
Okay.
You either play Hoop It Up or you play Gus Macker.
Right.
So when Hoop It Up's not around, you do Gus Macker. It's a little cheaper. And they had the Gus Macker tournament in Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So, we drive up there and play. Thursday, then we go to the store, and it felt like everybody was just, staring you down. And it was one of these weirdest, communities out there. And the more I talk to people, this is how it is.
It is Stepford Wives.
Yeah, dude. It is very, I was waiting for, a robot to come out, or a butler, or some, an security guy with a black suit or some shit like that.
Right.
It was like a creepy kind of thing. I'm used to playing basketball tournaments in the parking lot of a of like an arena or the High Line place or the Greyhound kind of thing.
Right.
This one was like in that community. Never had it again. They had the Gus Macker tournament in downtown Orlando. Now, downtown Orlando, are they building a park? Is that what they're doing with the I-4 construction? Do you know anything about this?
Underneath it?
Yeah.
That's going to be soccer and basketball courts.
Soccer and basketball court for the homeless people to sleep on. And I dare you to call next. I dare you to call next.
Yep, that's what they're building down there.
I'm sleeping here. I'll take a shit right here in the free throw line. Go knock yourself out and play. Man, what other fun facts do you guys have?
Haunted facts? Stuff like that?
I mean, you know, you got to have haunted facts. We got plenty of racist facts. I mean,
you need the racist stuff. Are you guys holding back on
this? One of the largest
this?
Lynchings in the world or in America is in Gainesville.
Okay, so they just like... they just put them in this
Gainesville
little...
had a really, yeah, really bad reputation.
Was this on the train line that this guy did?
Trying to remember the specifics on it on this one. Oh, God, it's getting blocking.
Was this runaway slaves?
This was after. This
we also had Rosalind, or there was right out, Rosewood, right out.
I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Rosewood with Vin Rames.
Mm-hmm. That's right out on the west end of town.
Yep.
In all Orlando.
Man.
That's. Well, the haunted, one of the haunted spots in Orlando is the old hanging grounds that is right, that's right downtown on Orange Avenue.
Wait, what's that? What's that? Wait, what?
Yeah, I love the whoa. Right? You haunted, have intrigued
haunted
me.
Haunted places?
Yeah, that actually on the
Nightmare on Church Street?
Washington
kind of thing?
Terror on Church Street.
You got to go down a little bit more. Orange Avenue and
but before
Washington.
That, it was Nightmare on Church.
Orange
Street.
Avenue and Washington.
On
okay.
Corner of Orange Avenue and Washington.
Okay.
Where really the Beach and Theater and the nightclub Ibar sits.
Yeah.
That used to be the original jail. And there was a high padded fence that sat around it. So they used to hang people there on that corner.
At Ibar? Senate.
So when
Ibar used to be Barbarella's, right?
Yeah, and you got to remember, that's where all the gothic kids hung out. So it kind of goes with the theme. So when those spook tours or the ghost tours would come by, they go, what's significant about this place? I'm like, this is the old hanging yards. And then out comes 20 gothic kids.
I remember, the only thing I remember about Barbarella's was like the 80s Mondays kind of thing.
Oh, right. Sunday night 80s kind of thing.
But they used to do, is it Sundays or Mondays?
Oh, it's pretty much 80s night there all the time.
All the time. But that used to be like the spot back then. Yeah. Beecham, I know Bonker's brother, the San Filippos.
Okay.
I think they have their hands in that building.
Okay.
And the social used to be Sapphire.
Yeah.
They used to do Fat and Jazzy. That was a cool spot.
That was Faraday's and Shaney's old place.
And then, I only know the history of Little Debauchery here. Janie Lane's, what the hell was that room called?
See, I don't know it's
Sack Theater now.
Okay.
But it used to be Janie Lane's, I forget what the name of the thing is. Mm. But I know that place because
Sunset?
Was it Sunset? Yeah.
Janie Lane Sunset Strip or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. Sunset Strip. And that place is significant because, here's an Angel Rivera story.
Oh, yes.
I think I said this once. Angel got a little lit.
Yes.
And
I remember this.
And this is when the Solar Bears started off and the Michigan K-Wings came to town. They were drinking and hanging out there. And Angel got drunk and just decided to start spraying beer. to everybody there, and then decided to look at one of the hockey players and go full vulture.
Yep, I remember this. I remember this.
And arms out, and I'm like, holy shit!
I remember this.
Things about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing happened, thank God. But because I mean, Samoans and hockey players.
You can do
two type of people you don't want to get into fights. Yeah,
that's it.
So. That's a great piece of Orlando history, right?
Right there. That's the only history I have. I can do Orlando history from 89. I got 1989 and on. All right, time to dismount.
Did you learn some stuff about Florida?
I did, dude. I did.
It's Crespo's favorite part.
You got to put it like towards the good beat. You want to give me the double voice so I can do this? Is that possible?
Okay.
Oh, dude, we didn't do our bit. Do you have a...
We can do it for the next show.
Oh, hold on. Let the voice come. Here it comes. You gave Dan the voice. Oh, here we go.
Wait, nope, 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 nope.
Sorry. All right. Ooh, yeah. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to my sons, Dan and Pedro. I'm the Devils in the Details, broadcasting every other Tuesday. I don't even feel like doing this anymore. I really need to just... It's just so many words. I just want to listen to me. Just say stuff. Give me some words to say. Here you go. Listen to Devils in the Details on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn. Also share, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Send us any comments, thoughts, concerns, suggestions, whatever it is that you want to do. Cooking spells, whatever you got. Devils in the Details Show at gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is The Devils Deets. That's TheDevilsDeets. This sounds so much better with this voice. I could do a whole episode like this. I would say listen to all these other shows, but recently I've been listening to all the shows and they've never promoted us. And I think I'm going to go on strike on this one. I'm just going to pick a couple shows that are Cinema Crust with Diesel.
Right, of course.
Because I've been on that show. And it's, you know.
Right. You going to plug Simon?
Yeah, we got to plug. I've been on Simon's show.
Right.
I'll plug Simon's show.
And he plugs your show all the time.
Simon
Time Trivia.
Thank you. I was trying to remember it.
Yeah.
But I don't have my Ouija board, so I can reference. I think Ryan Holmes, Big Tim Murphy, and Charlie Booty have a show. Good luck figuring that one out. Let me see who else has a show there. Etchy has a show. Yep, that's it. I think we covered all the bases. I think we got it, right?
Yep.
We're good to go?
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
A PFT Media production.